Good morning.
Okay.
Please allow me a few seconds to just set up my computer here. Good thing I held it. Okay. Okay, good morning, everyone. Will you greet your seatmate? Good morning. Did you enjoy the snow? Are you hoping for more snow? No more? I have an office mate. He said me, he's sure it will be warm in July. Okay, that's what my office mate said. But my kids love the snow. But as it was pouring... the downpour was heavy in Fraser Valley on Friday. I was already dreading because I know I will plow our driveway. And true enough, I did yesterday. So I had a workout. Okay, will you greet your seatmate? Good morning and welcome to CCF. Okay. All right. Okay, now for your maximum benefit, I will do my best to not bore you. Is that good? Is that good?
Fair enough.
But may I ask you, for your maximum benefit, can you just try to focus for the next 30 minutes or so? So that you will leave this place encouraged by the Word of God. Okay? So today we will continue our study on financial stewardship in light of God's Word. Have you been blessed by our series so far?
Yes.
Me too. I find it very helpful and relevant in my life. Okay, so our topic today is... Loosen your grip on money, give generously. Can you tell that to your neighbor, please? Loosen your grip on money, give generously. Okay, will you join me in prayer and let's commit this time to the Lord that He may speak to all of us. Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for this time, O God. Father, we seek your presence this morning, O Lord. I know, Father, that each individual here has a purpose, O Lord, why they're here. Father, will you speak to them, O Lord? Will you grant, Lord, the desires of their heart as they seek you, Father? May your word be clear to them that they may understand. Lord, we pray that your word and your spirit, Father, will lead us, O Lord, to apply what we will learn today so that we can be changed and be transformed, so that we can bless others, Father, so that we can bless ourselves. This we ask and pray, Lord. I submit to you myself, O Lord. Will you override everything that I have prepared? Will you speak to me, Lord, and give me, Lord, the clarity of thought and the clarity of voice, O God, so that I may be an effective instrument to minister to your people today. This we ask and pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I heard this story. I don't know if it's true or not, but there's this young boy who, after the worship service, he approached his pastor and said, "Pastor, when I grow up, I'm going to get a job and give you all my money." Oh, wow, generous. And the pastor was amused and looked at the boy and he said, "Wow, that's really so nice of you. Why would you do that?" And the kid replied, "Because my dad said you're the poorest pastor he's ever heard." Anyway, this morning I would like us to consider a passage in scriptures found in verse 38. I'm having problems with my voice and I'm excited. That's why I'm pumipiyok. Okay? So can you turn your Bible or let's read it together. Luke 6, verse 38. "Give and it will be given to you." They will... Come on. Read with me, please. "Give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return." You know, in ancient times, pockets were unknown. Women, specifically women, they wear robes and apron-type garments. Now, they bound these robes into some kind of a pouch so that when they went to the market, the dry goods like corn and grains will be poured over the pouch. It looks something like this, okay? When they fold it, they will go home so that they won't need to carry bags or baskets because they don't have it at that time. So I believe that this is probably the picture in Jesus' mind when he said, when you give, it's going to be poured out on you until it's falling out on the ground. And the more you give, the more that will happen. You are the one that gets to set the measure, according to the verse. Why would Jesus say these things, I wonder? You know what? Because I believe he knows us very well. And we are always curious to ask a question, what's in it for me? Right? That's why he said, give, and it will be given to you. There's also a familiar promise in the Old Testament found in Malachi 3, verse 10. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. So he's asking us to test him. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. I recall what Caressa shared to us last week in her testimony. He said she gave a little to the church and how she received so much in return. Was it running over, Caressa? Overflowing? Di ba may pasalubong ka pa? Chocolates? Okay. Now, some people say that tithing is just an Old Testament doctrine and doesn't apply in today's Christian context. Yes, it started in the Old Testament, but it doesn't mean it's no longer relevant to us today. In fact, there are many examples in the Bible wherein Jesus was not only upholding Old Testament principles, but he also raises it up to another level in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, there were commandments laid out by God. Then in the New Testament, we see Jesus explaining the heart and motives behind those commands. For example, in the Old Testament, we find, do not murder. But in the New Testament, Jesus said, do not be angry. In the Old Testament, we see the Old Testament saying, do not commit adultery. And Jesus elevates this to do not even lust. So when it comes to our giving, yes, do the tithes. But Jesus is now saying, give generously. Give and it will be given to you. So how do we loosen our grip on money and give generously? I'd like to suggest an acrostic GIVE. Or G-I-V-E, to outline our message today. Let's go to our first point. How do we give? Generously. G, generously. Writing to the church at Corinth, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. The principle is the ability to give and receive come from God. Now, this is simple logic. Suppose you're a farmer. No matter how big your land is, no matter how much land you've cultivated, if you only sow a little seed, well, your potential for harvest will also be little. But if you till as much land as you can and sow generous amounts of seed on that land, your potential for harvest will be so much more. Does that make sense? Generous means ready to give more than is necessary or expected. To sow is to plant, to invest, to give, while to reap is to harvest, to get a return, to receive. It is God who gives us the ability to earn, to make wealth. But remember the Lord your God. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. But we easily forget this truth. We think that it is by our own strength and abilities that we are able to make money. But what if your strength, your health, your abilities start to decline? Sadly, many people acknowledge that their abilities come from God only when their strength and situations are gravely compromised. Only if we or our loved one get seriously sick. If it is God who gives us the ability to make wealth, including the ability to sow and to reap, and actually it is God who makes the seeds grow and yield a bountiful harvest, shouldn't we honor the Lord by offering Him generously the first fruits of our labor? It says in Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first produce of your entire harvest. Are we honoring God with our possessions and the first produce of what we make? Are we faithful in giving our tithes and offerings? Bear in mind, too, that it is God who owns everything. The earth is the Lord and all it contains, says in Scripture. When we give, we are not really giving to the Lord something that is ours. We are simply giving back to Him what belongs to Him in the first place. As John Piper would put it, giving God our tithes does not deny that all our money is God's. It only proves that we believe it, that all our money is God's. When King David, together with the rest of the leaders of Israel, gave generously for the building of God's temple, he prayed, "But who I am and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? For everything comes from you, Lord, and we have given you only what comes from your own hand." David clearly knew the invisible reality of God's ownership of everything. We've learned this over the past few weeks. That is why he gave generously for the building of God's temple, because he understood right from the get-go that everything in the world belongs to God in the first place. For the majority of my life, I've been a spender. I never had a firm grasp of biblical stewardship. In 1997, I got my first job in a big company, and I was offered a starting salary similar to that of a bank manager. The idea of asking guidance from God on what to do with my earnings really never entered my mind. Every time I received my pay, I would give 30-40% to my mother for our home expenses. Good son. And spend the rest of my income however I wish. I bought stuff that I could never afford before for my personal enjoyment. As many of us are. And to the world, nothing wrong. It's your hard work. You can use it whatever you like. So I didn't give my tithes to my old church. After toiling for 6 years in sowing and investing in this lifestyle, I reaped zero from my hard work. I ended up with debt, no savings, and most of all, no love life. By the grace of God, Jesus miraculously worked in my life after that sorry period. In 2003, He led me to CCF, where I learned to grow in giving my tithes to honor the Lord. He also led me to a wonderful workplace where He gave me the capacity to be debt-free and bless me financially. So much I had to give it away. If you are struggling with debt right now, please join us next Sunday. This plugging for Pastor Benji, as he will talk about biblical stewardship and freedom from debt. So please come next Sunday. I remember the story of a grade school girl when CCF Maine was raising funds for its own building some years back. This young girl narrated how she will save her school allowance and even skip meals in order to fulfill her pledge to God for the building fund. I don't know if some of you remember that testimony. But when she narrated her story on stage, she brought up this big jar of coins and bills to offer to the Lord for the building fund. And it happened. God used that little girl, as well as so many thousands of people who faithfully, who sacrificially made pledges and honored the Lord. No matter what walks of life they're in, poor or rich, young or old, they generously gave. And I realized that in God's world, no matter the amount you give, if you are faithful, He will multiply that and He will make it grow. So that's the CCF Center now in Manila. That, my friends, is generosity. So how do we give? G, generously. And now we go to I, intentionally, marked by cheerfulness. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And the principle is, our attitude in giving matters to God. Giving is an individual thing. It says in the verse, each one of us, we make the choice to give ourselves. No one else can make it for us. The verse is also very clear that our attitude in giving matters to Him. The Lord knows the thoughts of our hearts. For instance, in Luke's gospel, Jesus said, Luke wrote these words, but Jesus, knowing the thoughts of their hearts, took a little child and had him stand next to Him. Luke wrote this word when the disciples were arguing who among them was the greatest disciple. God knows the thoughts of our hearts when we are giving. God sees all of it, whether your giving is marked by reluctance or out of compulsion. God is the ultimate giver. Amen? 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 I don't know if you realize it or not, but He has given each of us with spiritual gifts, physical gifts, and financial gifts. Every person in this room has a gift, and He wants each of us to be stewards of these gifts. He's trusting us with our time, with our talents, with our treasures. It all came from Him. In giving, you got to decide what's in your heart. It says in the verse, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. It's up to you what you give. God loves a giver with a cheerful heart attitude. I'm also learning that intentional giving guards our hearts from loving money and loosens our grip on material possessions. I've asked permission from my wife to share how God is at work in our lives today. You see, I thought I don't love money anymore. I thought I was not materialistic. I strive to be excellent in the workplace. I lead a D group. I give my tithes. I love my wife and my children. I thought I was doing fine. But the allure of money and possessions slowly crept back in my heart. Unfortunately, I didn't talk much about money with my wife. So this is one tip I want to suggest to you. Talk about money at home. Don't just leave it to one or the other. Be intentional in how you spend. Know where your money goes. It will do you well in the long run. You see, there were big expenses that I didn't consult my wife. I took out a car loan. I have a hobby on the side. On the other hand, when my wife asked for funds, usually for necessary home improvements, I consented without checking if we can afford it. Last year, we started skipping full payments of our credit card bills. And so it hit me that we're in debt due to acquiring things that over what we need and what we can afford. I am back in debt, and unfortunately, I tagged my wife along with me. I am the spiritual leader of our home. I know this. And I felt that I have failed them in this area. I felt I broke God's heart as He rebuked me of my greed and discontent. It says in Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, "For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." This verse spoke so deeply to me, as I have caused sadness and disappointment to my family. Scripture warns us many times about the dangers of debt. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower becomes the lender's slave. It's easy to be silent about this matter and keep it under the rug. Up until last night, I was having second thoughts if I'm credible to talk about financial stewardship. However, my wife and I choose to trust in our spiritual family here in CCF. We take courage in James 5:16 that says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed." And so we have confided our situation with people who are lovingly discipling us. Pastor Danny and Sister Grace, Pastor Benj and Sister Winnie. And also the people we are lovingly discipling over. Our D group. Right? D group. I encourage my D group to come today for moral support. And I told them they're part of this story. You see, if we're not going through true discipleship, there's no way I will share this concern outside the home. It's a private matter for our family. But one major aspect of discipleship is biblical accountability. We are helped out and nurtured to grow in our faith. It's life on life. We can be vulnerable. We can be transparent and open to one another without the fear of being judged, being helped out and nurtured to grow in our faith. That's why if you're not yet part of a D group, I do encourage you to join one, because we cannot live the generous Christian life in isolation. You cannot say to yourself that you are a generous person if the recipient is yourself. Let's proceed to point number 3.
So what is G?
Generously. I, intentionally, marked by what? V? Okay, so next time you give tithes and offering, would you be smiling? So the context of cheerful giving is being hilarious. In some churches, they go crazy when they give. Yeah, it's true. There are some churches like that. Yeah, but some, why is it that some, it seems like they're having a tough time reaching out for their pocket sometimes. So V, voluntary. We go to the same verse. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. What's the principle? We receive as we give willfully. We receive as we give willfully. Voluntary, according to the dictionary, is doing, giving, or acting on your own free will. It is intentional. It is willful. In CCF, as you may know, we don't pass offering baskets. It's even not visible, so you need to seek it out. Because we believe people should make the decision to give on their own. We have a tithe box that can be used for that purpose. God wants us to be voluntary in our giving. We are doing it as unto the Lord, not unto men. If you feel like someone is twisting your arm so you can give, please don't give. Don't do it. Pray and wait until God changes your heart to give. Now, how do we check if we are voluntary in our giving? May I suggest the following? Number one, check your emotions. Does giving causes you stress and anxiety? That's reluctantly. Check your behavior, number two. Do you give out of obligation or necessity? Is it because you want something from the Lord? That's why you're giving. Are you always struggling with the thought of how much money you need to give instead of how much money you need to keep? That's under compulsion. That's pride. Number three, check your obedience. Are you giving and tithing according to what God is telling you? Now, what if I tell my wife, sweetheart, I really love your cooking. Really? Because it's my duty to do so. Or what if one of your children say, Pa, I did very well in school. Now we're even, and I don't owe you anything. Even if we as imperfect people, wouldn't those kind of remarks hurt you? How much more our sinless and holy Father? It grieves him when our giving is forced and we are not cheerful. So back to my story. I have stopped using my credit cards and pay everything in cash. My wife still uses hers, but she pays off fully, so she's okay. Now my wife prepares a spreadsheet of all our income and our expenses. Now we're talking. We've talked about a specific plan to pay off our debt this year. And we are talking how to keep within our budget and cultivate a simple lifestyle. Now, while these are great plans, they are nice to hear, right? Be aware that we are forgetful people and we tend to revert back to old habits after a short while. How many of you have resolved to lose weight at the start of the year? Are you still at it? So the question now is, how can we keep our resolutions? Again, the key is discipleship. Be discipled and learn to disciple others to be followers of Christ. I believe God will help me uphold my commitments only if I will consistently teach and model these stewardship principles that I'm learning to my wife and my children. Otherwise, I'll easily forget it after a few weeks. So we need to pass it on. We need to disciple people. We need to teach and model the principles that we believed in. As we make disciples and learn to obey the Lord in faith, God promises His abiding presence in our lives. He says, I will be with you always. How can you claim that if you are not obeying? So we can claim His promises and His provisions if we trust in Him. Our stewardship series has helped me rediscover my joy in giving my tithes and offering to the Lord. I am so excited to honor Him with my first fruits, believe it or not. I've never been so excited in writing my check for the church. And it's the first thing I do. And I've asked my wife to hold me accountable in that area. And I will also ask my D group to hold me accountable in that area. So number one, God doesn't want sad givers. That's grudgingly. He also doesn't want mad givers or out of necessity. What He wants, what He desires, what He seeks is glad givers, cheerfully as unto the Lord. Number four, fourth and final point. Letter E, expectantly. What does this mean? Let's read in our verse. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, He scattered abroad, He gave to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. Now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. The principle is we receive even while we are giving. It takes faith to be generous because the sowing comes first. But sometimes we tell the Lord, Lord, let me reap first and then I will start being generous. Lord, please send me Mr. Right or Miss Right first. Oh Lord, give me that job first. Lord, help me to excel in school first. Lord, prosper my business first. But giving takes faith. And you need to sow first. And then you will reap. Give, and it will be given to you. It's possible that the reaping, the blessing, can be immediate. But sometimes there's a time gap. I encourage you to keep trusting in the Lord. Now, you might say, if you're single, But ang tagal naman yata ng time gap ko, Lord. Well, be expectant. Just be faithful and be expectant and trust in His promises. Does God keep His promises?
Yes.
Absolutely. We cannot outgive God. I've heard people say that over and over again. But there's no better way to prove it than to try it yourselves. Giving is a personal responsibility. We make the choice to give ourselves. In everything, I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." What's the blessing of giving, if I may ask? Many Bible verses point out that it can be material. You can prosper in your job or your business. You can excel in school. You can be healed of your sickness. You can find your God's best. But beyond material blessings, giving produces an unexplainable joy when you are able to give and bless others. How do you feel when you give? Are you sad when you give? Do you feel that unexplainable joy? Sometimes, even if the people don't want to receive, we insist, right? Tanggapin mo na. No, hindi na. Tanggapin mo na. We plead even to give. Because it gives us a good feeling when we're able to bless others. Then there is eternal impact when you give. You see, God used countless men and women to start and sustain the ministry of CCF all these years. Not only in the Philippines, but in other parts of the world. I don't know so many of them by names, but I am eternally grateful for all of them. Because of their selfless giving of their tithes, treasures, time, and talents, my life was impacted by the gospel of Christ. So I look forward to meeting them someday in heaven, to personally thank each of them as God used their generous giving to change the course of my life. Jesus assured, "Give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return." John Rockefeller believed and lived out these biblical principles. You know, Rockefeller came from poverty, and he had an absentee father. He had a Christian mother who influenced him, and he also became a Christian. He's considered the richest man in modern history. If you factor inflation, his net worth today was estimated at about $400 billion. Some say it's even more than that. Throughout his lifetime, he gave immense amount of money to good causes, especially church-based groups, which is estimated at about $550 million based on an online article posted on values and capitalism. Now, a portion of his donations funded the Central Philippine University in Iloilo in 1905. And in 1906, CPU became the first nursing school in the Philippines through its hospital, the Iloilo Mission Hospital. The generous giving of Rockefeller planted the seeds, and the Philippines is still reaping the benefits today, as it's renowned all over the world in the education and training of nursing professionals. Now, Rockefeller was once asked in an interview if he gives his tithes. This was his response, and I quote, "Yes, I tithe, and I would like to tell you how it all came about. I had to begin work as a small boy to help support my mother. My first wages amounted to $1.50 per week. The first week after I went to work, I took the $1.50 home to my mother, and she held the money in her lap and explained to me that she would be happy if I would give a tenth of it to the Lord. I did. And from that last week until this day, I have tithed every dollar God has entrusted to me. And I want to say, if I had not tithed the first dollar I made, I would not have tithed the first $1 million I made. Tell your readers to train their children to tithe, and they will grow up to be faithful stewards of the Lord. Generosity in giving will benefit you even though you don't look for it, you don't demand it or expect it. God will remember. For it says in Hebrews chapter 6, "For God is not unjust as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints." So what's our message today? Loosen your grip on money. Give generously. How do we do that? We do that by giving generously, by giving intentionally, marked by cheerfulness, by giving voluntarily, not being forced, and by giving expectantly, trusting that God is a keeper of his promises and he will bless you. The Bible teaches us how good and gracious God is. He's always loving, always giving, always generous. His love for us is demonstrated the most in the cross. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thus our Lord, generous. He gave us more than we can ever expect when he gave himself for us. When Paul talks about giving, he uses the framework built around one word, and that is grace. Paul referred to it in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, when he said, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through you his poverty might become rich." Jesus gave himself away to offer us a generous life. God's grace is the foundation of a generous person. God's grace is the foundation of a generous person. So a couple of reflection questions for us today. Where is it? How do we respond to God's goodness and generosity? How do we respond to God's grace? Pastor and author Randy Alcorn wrote in his book, The Treasure Principle, that our giving is a reflexive response to the grace of God in our lives. It does not come from our altruism or philanthropy. It comes out of the transforming power of Christ in our lives. One of the applications in today's message is for us to walk with Christ daily, to be filled by his Spirit, that we may become more like him every moment. Walking in the Spirit would impact all areas of our lives, including our attitude in giving. So my prayer is that the Lord would grant us the grace to become generous people as we give ourselves to him now and forevermore.
Will you join me as we close in prayer? Father, we thank you. Thank you for the word that we have heard today. Father, I pray that as we live out generous giving in our lives, that we will do so not because we are motivated to receive, but rather we do so out of worship for you. I pray, Father, for each one of us, each person in this hall. Father, will you bless the works of our hands, that we might give generously, abundantly, and cheerfully, that we might provide for our family, and beyond our basic needs, that we will give away to see the kingdom of Christ advance in this part of the world. Lord, we thank you for the sharing of Brother Dennis. Thank you for his vulnerability. And I pray for all of us here that we will indeed come alongside one another to be accountable in the area of stewardship, of being good stewards. And now may the peace of Christ, may his joy rule in our hearts. May cheerfulness mark your lives, our lives today, as we learn to live out what we have learned in obedience and become generous, cheerful givers for the glory of Christ. Amen. Amen.